ready, girls. This is a take.
Night coffee, no carrots.
Hi, this is JJ here at Once. What you're about to see is some very special content created just for you by the Once family. Art and community are our priorities here at Once. We'd rather be with you in person, but what we can do right now is create virtual experiences for us to all enjoy together. No, it's not the same as being at a live show, but that doesn't mean that it's not a way to enjoy each other's company and entertainment. So, without further ado, a few house notes. The bathrooms are in the back, on the left. No flash photography, please. And as always, no crowd surfing. Enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Here we are.
This is crazy. 400 episodes and we've never done anything like this, so I hope it's working.
Why not start that?
You have to do the countdown still.
Oh, we do? Oh, usually we, this is, you don't hear this if you ever listen, but we go 3, 2, 1, record, and then Clay goes recording, and then I go
recording.
You are listening to the League Podcast, episode 415. And sometimes I do say it like that, like I don't know what episode we're on. But you're not just listening to it, you're watching it.
400's a lot, man.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for coming, and thanks to Once for letting us do this. And here we are. Like, thank you, everyone. Welcome. We got a schedule here today. So,
wait, who are we?
Oh, sorry, I'm Matt Durson.
I'm Josh Lingle.
Clay Inferno.
And I'm Sam First.
Okay, that's who we are. I'm in case, but can't they see that on the screen?
What we do.
Well, Sam and Josh haven't technically met each other except for this past half hour on the Zoom sound check.
Yeah, that's true.
So I hope they don't hate each other. So here's what we're gonna do. We're on, like I said,
wait till the end of the episode. They might.
We're on a time clock here. We're gonna get started right away. I was reminiscing a little bit. We're going to take you back to yesteryear, 30 years ago, summer of 1990. I was 14 years old. Clay was probably 15. Not to give away our age. Yeah,
we're old,
but, you know, 14, 15.
You're old.
Summer of 14, 15 years old. You know what I mean? Like, you can go out, but you don't have a car. You know, you can't legally drive. You don't have to get a job. I mean, in fact, legally, I don't think you can work, at least in Massachusetts. So it's a weird age.
I was mowing lawns, paper route.
I think I washed my dad's car for $5 and stuff like that. But that was a big summer for movies, and a lot of blockbusters came out. There was a lot going on about like violence in movies and stuff like that. So it was a pretty interesting summer 30 years ago. I'm going to just go right into it. Started right off at Back to the Future 3. Everyone remembers that one.
Oh, yeah.
Came out May 25th. Oh, yeah. The finale of the big trilogy that everybody
steampunk.
Was. Steampunk. Steampunk. Sure, because they had a train steampunk. At the end. I think it's people associate it more like the Old West, but that's the one in the Old West. Everybody kind of, even like casual fans, kind of go like, oh, it's the one in the Old West, right?
And they kept doing the, Marty seeing like his ancestors and
well, by that point,
running into Biff's ancestors as well, and
right,
yeah,
small world, it was kind of fun. I mean, like, but by that point, I think like waking up, mom, is that you? And it's Leah Thompson all the time in different forms, and it was just, I don't know, it was fun, but I think by that time, it was kind of starting to get a little like, all right, here we go. But, fun movie. I saw it with, I remember seeing it in the theater with a couple friends. And, our mom dropped us off, one of our moms dropped us off and all that. And I just remember that was like a fun movie going experience and all that. But in retrospect, I think the weakest of the three. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I like the Western stuff, too.
I mean, if you're looking for like the weakest, of the three, absolutely, it's the weakest. Yeah. But I still think it's a good movie.
It's definitely a good, it's definitely a fun, watchable movie. And I think as an adult, I appreciate it a little more with the love story and all that. But there's no, like, time paradox that's going to destroy the universe and all that stuff. But
Curb Your Enthusiasm's Mary Steenburgen.
That's right. Yeah. Mary Steenburgen as Christopher Lloyd's love interest.
As a 12-year-old, that love story just got me hyped.
Really? Oh, jeez. How about that? Look at Josh, sensitive guy that he is. Like a week later, we had Total Recall on June 1st.
My favorite movie this summer.
The most violent movie of the year. That was the one that stirred up a lot of talk. I think people were like, what's happening? It's so violent. There was like an article that came up that said there were 110 acts of violence per hour. Now, I think in retrospect, that movie doesn't even seem that violent. Right?
Yeah. It's like kind of gross, though, like the guy's face exploding and
yeah, the eyes bulging out of the head.
And like,
you know, that's, you're on Mars and it's kind
of. That was like the perfect movie for me at that time. And it had my first kind of like sixth sense, like plot twist, like weird ending thing that like blew my mind. And like, after I watched it, I was like, whoa, it like blew my mind, like sci-fi. Wow. And the lady with the,
I was going to say the three boobs is really what you're talking about.
Yeah. The three.
Yeah. Boobs. But I love the whole thing, you know, like the kind of Demolition Man cars they had and just like, it was just perfect for me exactly at the age that I was, 15.
Yeah, I think 15 is about the demo they were going for there. I don't think in retrospect. I mean, I watched a little bit. It was on TV recently. I was like, eh, this movie doesn't really.
I like the sci-fi story of Total Recall, though. I like all of it. So.
I'll watch just about any Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. In reality. I mean, really. I mean, let's be honest.
Last here. Action Hero?
Absolutely. Last Action Hero.
Junior.
We had the kid. But I mean, He had a another movie come out later that year, the epic Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten
Cop. Oh yeah.
It's
comedy. It's not a duo. You know, Total and Kindergarten Cop in the same year.
He was really at the height of it right then.
Stretching his.
Well, it's pre T2. You know, yeah, I mean,
T2 came out 2 years later. I don't know. It's Philip K. Dick and all that. Like, and Paul Verhoeven directed it. It's a fun movie, but, you know. It's
definitely fun.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Thank you. 2 weeks later, we had two big movies. Dick Tracy, which, like, we could probably do a whole podcast just on that movie.
About how boring that is?
Not because it's a good movie, but just because, like, the rights and the, like, the whole thing and Warren Beatty.
It had, like, such potential, and they were forcing it on us. They were like, you're going to love this. And it was Madonna and Vogue and fucking all this shit. And then it was just like, are you kidding me? This is so boring. And then no one cares about Dick Tracy. And, you know, like, I have an Apple Watch.
Oh, no, it was.
Yippee shit. Who cares? You know? No big deal.
Yeah, but at the time, I mean, I got pretty into that movie, but I think I liked the bad guys the most because, like, they all had the ridiculous makeup effects on them.
So bad. You know? And I hardly ever say that.
It's like you have, I actually think they're pretty awesome. I mean, you really should go back and like assess those again because they're like so over the top and cartoony. It's kind of awesome. I mean, you had William Forsythe in there. Like he was just randomly one of those bad guys. And then you also have obviously Al Pacino. And it's like, that's that makeup is really pretty awesome. And I mean, that movie, that harkens back to like a very specific era for me. Like, I mean, I was Dick Tracy for Halloween. I had the yellow like overcoat and like.
That's awesome.
No, I did not expect you to say that.
I mean, like Batman had come out the year before, and I think they were trying, as far as the marketing goes, they were trying to do that all over again.
It was.
Well, I mean, it was definitely.
Every comic book had it.
Well, after Batman hit in 89, I mean, 1990 was like, then it was like, that was what everybody else was trying to capture. You know, we had Dick Tracy. We also had the Flash television show. And you had
92.
And then you had, of course, Darkman, which came out in August of 1990. Very coming up on the 30th anniversary next week.
Wow, yeah. Oh. And then we also had, we're going to talk a little bit, Gremlins 2, which we talked about before, because, I don't know, do you still have the puppet, Sam? Is he?
He's sitting there.
Is he handy?
Ah, you said it.
Oh. 41 million that movie made. Oh, there he is.
What?
That is pretty awesome. That's like, that almost looks I mean, that is amazing articulation. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, like Gremlins, the first one, it was like everybody was like, it's so violent. We need it. Can't be PG, the children. And then so they made this one, which they just said, let's just make it totally goofy and hilarious. And it was. And like in retrospect, I think this movie's great. At the time, I was
like, it's awesome.
It's too goofy. But it's what a hilarious movie. They're just like, we don't care. Just enjoy it. Like they had like the smart gremlin and the spider gremlin and the lightning gremlin and the lady gremlin and all that
stuff. The bat gremlin made the bat That's symbol.
Right. That's right. I mean, it was like that scene like where like the movie stopped in the middle, and if you were in the theater, like was it Hulk Hogan or somebody was like, hey, turn that back on or whatever. So weird. Like this movie even spoofed itself. Do you remember like that scene where the girl's talking about Phoebe Cates? I'm not even that girl, but she's talking about like, oh, don't remind me of the 4th of July. There was the horrible memory of the, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, she always has these like really intense, like,
right.
They're like really kind of fucked up, like, you know, traumatic experiences that she has. And it's like, they just kind of like throw it in there and just kind of glaze over it and just keep going with the silliness.
Sorry about your dad dying on Christmas. Let's blow up the movie theater. So, but I mean, I think Gremlins 2, go back and check it out again. 30 years later, I bet it's even better.
Oh, yeah.
Then we had RoboCop 2. It's kind of like take the fun down. I don't know. I mean, it's still fun, but
I really like RoboCop 2. I like the new, like, what do you call it? RoboCop.
The literal RoboCop 2. Yeah.
Yeah. The and Frank Miller wrote that, and that was also tied into
a draft.
I think it was like his story.
No, number two was like his story.
Yeah. All right. It has a Dark Knight Returns feel to it.
Yeah. That got away from him.
Yeah. And he kind of like came back to like do his Frank Miller thing, and. When I was growing up, like part two was always kind of the forbidden fruit one, because like we had a recorded off TV version of RoboCop 1, and I used to watch it constantly, and I had the toys and stuff, and then but my parents were never like RoboCop 2 never made it to that point, I guess, and so I never got to see it, and then RoboCop 3 came out, and it was just like, well, fuck everything,
whatever.
RoboCop 3,
he also wrote that one, so
yeah, let's not forget that.
I don't know. This
but there was
fine.
RoboCop comics tied in with RoboCop 2, and there was like RoboCop Terminator, like all at the same time.
And yeah, the RoboCop versus Terminator comic was actually pretty awesome. Walt Simon did the art and all that stuff. But we're talking movies.
We're a comic book podcast.
I mean, all right. I mean, maybe I should watch RoboCop 2 again. I will say this footage that I found RoboCop 2. The kid, like the badass kid. Is now real estate. He like sells real estate or something. Like
yeah,
that. I just thought that was kind of funny. He doesn't actually act.
Sam like knows all those people. For
I know.
No, like I mean, really, all those guys end up just kind of hanging about. They all kind of know each other, and like the guys from Monster Squad. Like I mean, Ken Reed knows all those guys, and I became pretty good friends with Jason Lively, who is Rusty from European Vacation.
He's not gonna
more than one. Was he one? Was there only one Rusty?
He's only Rusty once.
Oh, okay.
He's also the main character in Night of the Creeps and a couple other things.
I actually didn't meet the kid in Dick Tracy, also, is just he's a law professor. So these people,
is he?
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of funny. These child actors, they probably think, oh, I'm gonna be in this big time movie, and then they end up,
and we're here sitting there talking about him.
Yeah, that's true. We are still talking about him, but only in a retro.
Well, we were like their age, you know what I mean?
So. Probably, yeah. The last one I wanted to touch on here, because you only got a couple of minutes left, but Die Hard 2 came out July 4th. It made 119 mil. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's a weird one. It's fun in the Die Hard sense, but like, I mean, where they all went, it's kind of like a, like, they were starting to go that way. What?
It's the weakest of the bunch.
The weakest of the first three? Or I haven't seen the last.
Of the first, of all of them. I don't know. Maybe the first three, anyway. But
the first three. I mean, there's no way these last two could even hold a candle to that. But
yeah,
it's just there's funny, another like, one coming too.
Oh my God, really?
I don't even think I've seen this movie.
You haven't seen Die Harder? They actually like the subtitle is actually Die Harder. But like they were so, it was kind of controversial because no airport wanted to let them film there because they were like, oh, you paint such a bad, you know what I mean? It's such an ugly portrayal of airports and security and everything like that. Like this woman just takes a taser on the plane. And I'm pretty sure even in 1990, that wasn't a thing you could do.
Oh, it totally was. 1990 was a different beast.
Yeah, totally.
And like at one point he calls the plane from the ground. Could you even do that? I don't know. I mean. She pages him from the plane.
Yeah, they had. They did have Elvis's. I was on Elvis's plane when I went to Graceland. He had a phone in there.
Well, all right, Elvis did, but the commercial airlines, I don't think
they would have like one, and it would be like expensive.
Yeah, but you couldn't call. They could call you, but you couldn't call the phone, right? That's weird. I don't know why
it wouldn't work the other way. But
I guess if you just put the number in, but. I guess it's like calling a payphone, but it seems kind of weird. But anyway,
probably costs a lot of money. Remember, like long distance was like super expensive all the time.
Yeah,
that's how old I am.
You had to put your credit card into the plane phone, I think, to use it. But I don't know. I remember seeing it with a friend of mine, or it was actually a friend of my brother's who was like a little older. So he was probably like 20, and I was 14. But like, so it was cool to go to like the movies with these adults. But he had been in the service, and I think he was home on you know, leave or whatever, and he kept pointing out all the bad military mistakes they were making. And I'm just like, you're kind of ruining this for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a movie. Even at 14, I was like, all right, enough. This isn't the real deal.
Oh, this fictional movie isn't accurate? I'm sorry.
You mean like the military doesn't really do that? They don't use those kinds of guns, you know, and stuff like that. It's just like, all right, enough.
All right. See you at the club.
Yeah, see at the club. I mean, you know, but like I said at the beginning, like a fun summer for action movies and blood and guts. But it's, I think in retrospect, the violence is like nothing now, right? I mean, none of these movies.
It's nothing.
Except
now.
When Bruce Willis jabs the icicle in that guy's eye, that's probably still pretty bad. But like all those people who thought these movies are too.
The standout scariness from that summer was definitely Arachnophobia for me.
I was going to mention, we should have honorable mention for Arachnophobia.
Yeah, I remember people running out of the theater when I went to go see it.
That's funny. I never even saw that in the theater. I don't. So I was probably too scared. But it's
But that was also on every comic book had an ad for Dick Tracy and Arachnophobia.
Nope.
I know, because
Die Hard. I don't understand.
Well, Die Hard. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know, man.
It wasn't really. They weren't marketing it to the comic fan base. I mean, the funny thing is, out of all these movies, like Ghost was the top grossing movie of the summer, I think. It was like, I don't even know how much money that made, but they all did fine. But I guess the funny thing about Dick Tracy is it didn't make as much as they hoped. They only made like $100 million, which at the time is, I mean, it's great, but I think they were hoping for like, you know, to make a whole franchise out of it.
Well, and for the big name stars that they had in it too, like that must have cost a ton to.
Yeah, Madonna, and all that stuff. Yeah.
But who was like, let's stick Warren Beatty in this movie?
He like, directed it. He was.
I know. But who, like, I mean, he was like a leading man in the 70s.
Yeah, I think he was.
So it's
already...
he was pretty freaking old already.
I know. He's like, this is my comeback.
And then when he finally won the rights in court to make the movie, he was like 74 or something like that by then. So, yeah, pretty funny stuff. I don't know. That was a fun summer, though. And, like, yeah, some of these movies, definitely go back and give them another watch. See if you think they're violent. I don't know.
What do we know?
Yeah, what do we know? We're not the...
And if they are, go tell someone about it.
That's right. Write a blog about it, just what you couldn't do in 1990. All right. Well, thanks for listening to that rant. We got cool thing now. Our co-host or co-podcaster John Hunt couldn't make it, but he sent along a very cool video of him at work, basically, which we're all working from home now, but he works from home like all the time.
He's
done it for years. He's a comic book letterer. He works for Viz Media mostly. They do a lot of manga, as we say in the Viz.
Viz, and he wanted me to mention something, which I'm going to do, which he uses 90% Comic Craft fonts, and he buys them from Comic Craft. He's kind of a plug for them. Yeah, Comic well, Craft. Maybe the company, maybe Viz buys them for him, but they're all licensed.
Very good.
Great font company.
All right, so if you're getting into comic lettering, yeah, support them. Let's try this. Let's check it out. John Hunt, right?
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Hey guys, it's the Elder here. Just wanted to give you a look at how I approach lettering and art retouch for manga publication, the English translated publication for Viz Media. I do lettering, sound effects, art retouch. What I am provided with initially is an English translated script. And from that point, then I look at the artwork, see where the sound effects and the text lies, the dialogue and whatnot. And then I have to choose appropriate fonts to match the sound effects as best I can. But my job really is to not stand out with this stuff. So you want to try to match and respect the original artwork as much as possible, not cover too much of it up, but also being clear to the reader what's going on. Sometimes some of the artwork is not clear when I do the retouch, and fortunately I work with a great bunch of editors that can help me through when I'm having difficulties. So you see here, I'm doing a lot of copying and pasting of the background to recreate the Zipitone patterns that they use. This pattern in particular is not a regular pattern. It has sort of a randomness to it, so I have to go in and manually add in some of the Zipitone dots in order for them to line up properly. I would like to use the delete function in Photoshop where it recreates the background, but or even the clone tool, but unfortunately anytime I've tried to do that, nothing lines up properly, and I still have to go back in and manually, you know, copy paste and recreate the background tones. So one of the other things that is required is being able to do some drawing. So I use a Wacom Cintiq, and an old Wacom Intuos tablet, which I don't think they even make those. I've had it since 2007, and I've been using that when I was coloring a bunch of the Star Trek stuff, and it's pretty much exclusively what I use. I'm very comfortable with it. I never really warmed up to the Cintiq, and even my Cintiq is old now. I got that in 2010 or 11, and just, I don't know, the screen never, there's a disconnect between drawing on the screen and drawing on paper, and I've just, for some reason, it has always worked better for me in terms of using the old Intuos tablet. So I don't use a mouse very often. It's clunky. It's like trying to do artwork with a potato, as I've heard someone say before. So here I'm just going in and using Photoshop's pen tools. I usually use a small, or the pencil tool rather, and I use one with a tip that can, you know, that's pressure sensitive, so it matches up better. And make sure you always save, constantly save. And this is all, you know, using the distortion tool or whatever, and the warp tool to try to line everything up as best as you can. Obviously, Japanese characters and English text do not really match in most cases. So you just do your best and redraw where you have to redraw. And here's where I can cheat a little bit and use the clone tool for stuff like that, or the lasso tool. I'm probably going to use the line tool here to fix these things as well. And these are the type of thing, you know, it doesn't match 100%, so I've got to go in and sort of do a little retouch. But when you're getting down to that sort of micro level, no one, it just does not come out on the printed page. So just got a short minute left here. This is all in time lapse. This is about 16 to 17 minutes worth of work, this page. And this is one of the easy pages for this. There are a lot of sound effects in this book. So that's just sort of, this is just sort of a brief overview on everything. That's it. Sayonara.
Sayonara. Yeah, just another brief note. John actually learned some Japanese.
He's been learning.
Yeah. So he wasn't just joking when he said sayonara. He knows a lot of Japanese.
He meant it.
Yeah, so check out his stuff.
That's nicer than what he usually says after sayonara, which that's we right. won't do.
Yeah.
So, check out his work.
That was really cool, man. I'm glad he did that because I hadn't seen him work in a long time, and that's one of my favorite things to do is, like, hang with him when he's doing some art stuff. And what a creative dude, man. Thank you so much, John.
Yeah, thank you, John. And I don't know about you guys, but I was jiving to that piano music that he had going on.
Yeah, we should have given that for their intro instead of my dumb band.
All right, moving on. We've got another segment here. We're going to have some fun. I don't know who wants to go first. Do we have a volunteer? Would you like
Josh? Josh.
All right, let's go with Josh. Can we make Josh the man here?
I'm already the man.
Yeah, you're already the man. And you're the big man, but we want to make you bigger screen-wise. We're going to open some toys. You know, there's all these unboxing videos and stuff around. We're going to have our own little version of it here. I hope
for the SEO.
Okay.
Gotta get clicks.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. So you just put unboxing video and people will click on it. All right. I get you. What have you got for us, Josh? You got anything?
All right.
You got anything good?
Of course. I have got the new He-Man.
Nice.
First off, before I tear into this, you got to look at the box. Very reminiscent of the old 80s.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Looks like an old He-Man.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Pretty cool. I don't think, I mean, looking at the figure, because I'm a huge fan of He-Man, I used to like all the figures when I was a kid, but now I have all the classics figures, and they're a lot more detailed, I think, and better than this. But let's tear into it and find out, shall we? Try not to ruin the comic inside because when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite things.
I forgot about that.
Comic inside.
Whoa. A lot of toys had those, I feel like, right? Or was it
and one thing
the aliens and the Predator figures all had them. All the He-Man had them. I'm trying to think of anything else.
Starriers? Did they have them?
I think it. Did Mask have comic books?
I think so. So is this the Super 7, like the one that's supposed to look like the television show?
No. These are new Mattel. Mattel just released these. Very hard to get. They're hard to get here. I don't know why, but Texas has had like an abundance of them. Texas. So pretty cool. I don't know how I... You know, a lot of people are complaining about the head sculpt, but I don't know. I think it's fine. I kind of never really liked the original head sculpt anyways. He kind of looked like one of my grandma's old lady friends, and it weirded me out. But these are, they're meant to look like the old figures. You know, they've got kind of same style, except for they've got a lot more articulation. Bending of the elbows, bending of the knees. I've seen a lot of people are, they say that you can like swap out the parts easier. Like, I don't know if I want, yeah, like that you can swap out arms and stuff. I don't know why that's a
pretty cool.
Cool feature to have, but some people might want to swap things out and make their own figures. That's kind of cool, I guess. But yeah.
So in the 80s, you could take off his little, thing, right?
Could you? Yeah, this comes off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, has a little thing in the back.
Very good.
And he comes with a sword. The one thing I don't like is he comes with like, he comes with the half sword like the old figure did, and you're supposed to be able to match it up with Skeletor's, which was cool, but I feel like they should have done like a whole one for him.
Yeah, boo
to that.
Cool axe though. Gotta have the axe.
Yeah, nice. The axe is cool.
And the sweet ass shield.
Sweet ass shield.
Sweet ass. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
And I noticed that you have a Castle Grayskull back there as well. Does he?
Oh yes, that is my. Fit? Yeah, that is my Mega Constructs Lego ripoff.
Oh, is that?
I loved it. I had a great time putting it together. I just got it for my birthday this year, my wife and kids. So that was fun.
Very cute.
Took a while, not, but
it's your kids. I don't mean you. You're a handsome man. So yeah, but you clearly are a fan. I see a He-Man wielding an axe over their shoulder as well. Like you, this is not something you did just for
that one. That hand. That hand.
That's a Dolph Lundgren, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Dolph Lundgren one. That's
they have a Dolph Lundgren He-Man figure. Oh, awesome.
Oh yeah, and then I've got the. Wow, this is hard.
Yeah, right.
My head's in the way. That's the
Skeletor. New Adventures
of He-Man. I'll get out of your way.
We're not going to make you go through all the toys, but
there's a lot.
There's a lot up there, yeah. But this, so is this worth your money? You know, worth your time and money and all that.
I mean, I like the classics, and I don't really have much space, so probably not. I think I'd want to just probably get Skeletor just to have He-Man and Skeletor from this line. Maybe Battlecat. I don't know. But all in all, I don't think I'd waste my money, even though they're at a pretty good price. I think they're like $15. So where figures like this nowadays are going for like $20 normally, I think $15 is a good price point.
Huh. Yeah. His sort of little underpants there look kind of like, I don't know.
His fur loincloth?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it should be darker or something. I don't know. It kind of almost looks like he's not wearing any. Hey, who am I to judge? All right, what have we got? Who wants to go next? Anybody want to go
next? I'll go next.
All right, Clay's very excited.
I just did a Baby Yoda unboxing video, and I had two Hasbro Pulse boxes here that were unopened completely. One was Baby Yoda, but this is the one I am most excited about. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a big fan of G.I. Joe.
And this is
the Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
Right. Show the tattoo.
So let me get in here a bit. I don't want to take all the little bibs and bobs out. I mean, but I'll try to get the figure out at least.
I already have it open with the bits and bobs out. So if you want to see the bits and bobs, I can show you.
Well, let me show you Snake. And maybe we'll cut to you.
Well,
he doesn't say anything. I was going to say his catchphrase, but he doesn't have one.
Well, he doesn't speak.
He's looking at you. You got bibs and bobs? Go, why don't you go to Josh, show the bits and bobs for Snake Eyes.
Bits and bobs. All right.
This is double? Oh my god.
We have got giant sword. I'm not a big fan of the sword. I wish he had like a katana. I don't know what that is, but I don't know. You got this cool knife. That, I don't know, I hope you don't have this problem, Clay, but mine doesn't fit in the sheath, so it's kind of annoying. So he has it in his hand.
He's got this a backpack.
Big backpack.
Oh, a nice new backpack.
And he's got his sword sheath right there, and he has got a Uzi or something that I got kind of clipped onto the side.
Gotta do the Uzi. Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
Snake Eyes always have the Uzi.
Yeah.
Can you take his face off or anything like that? Like, or is it like a bloody, you know, like a scar?
He has his bandolier you can take off, and his belt.
And I found this really cool wolf that looks like Timber. So,
oh nice! So why didn't it come with one? Yeah, you were saying it should come with one.
It should.
So you just had a wolf lying around and you decided?
I found it online.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
How about you, Dersen? What do you got?
Oh, all right. You're not doing bibs and bobs? All right, yeah, it was quick. Let's do this. I got, of course, my favorite guy, my favorite character of all time. This is a Joker.
Oh, yeah. Love that Joker.
Love that Joker, yeah.
That the garage one? No, that's the
this
White Knight.
This is the White Knight.
Yeah. Ooh, that's cool, man.
Upside down, but yeah. The sort of Elseworlds, as they call the series.
Sean Murphy, that book is really cool.
It's a really great book where the Joker is kind of like, is cured, basically, sort of. And like, and they start blaming Batman for destroying parts of the city and not really paying for it. And the Gotham City Police is kind of like, hey, wait a minute. And Joker is kind of like the good guy in a way. It's a
He becomes kind of like the mayor or like the commissioner, kind of. Yeah, well, there's like two volumes.
Yeah.
No good.
But this is kind of from the first one. I'm trying to not ruin the packaging, but I mean, what am I going to do? Keep it. I got a whole Joker shelf over there, so this is going up in the place of, you know. Wow, this is a McFarlane, by the way. I should note.
Oh yeah, they just got. That's like pretty much. They just started making DC.
Oh, very well. All right, there's not much in the box. There's a card, which is kind of cool, and one of those little things to stand on, which never really work out for me. But no bibs and bobs except this ginormous gun. So I'll show you that first. I love these Joker guns. It's kind of it's very Jack Nicholson.
Nice.
When he shoots down the.
If that, either that or it has a flag that comes out of it.
Yeah, right. I can get this. He's also got another head. this is like the Jack Napier head. They go with Jack Napier because, you know, that's like a name, like his name in this story. So there's the like normal guy head. And then
that's Nicholson's name, isn't it? In the movie?
Yeah, Nicholson's name in the 89 Burton one. I love it. Oh, he's got one of these things. They always. Why unboxing videos are so fun. Yes, new plastic smell. So here's the like the guy, the real guy. This is the I love it. He's got his GTO, which was like the Gotham Task Force, sort of that they so like the Bat family like started helping out the Gotham police and they actually gave them the technology and all this stuff and they created this task force and the cops.
Yeah, the Bat family without Batman.
Right.
Like Robin and Batgirl.
So it's pretty cool. I love it. He's got his little, what do they call it? It's like a flak jacket, I guess, kind of a thing. I should ask my military friend who came to see Die Hard with me what it is. Oh, for God's sakes. Anyways, this is pretty cool, though. Like, as I have a lot of Jokers, like I said. This one is definitely one of the cooler looking ones. So, yeah, I'm happy. Good purchase. $20 or whatever it was. I don't know, $25. He also, like, the cool thing about this one, which not a lot of figures have, is, like, he's, the red around his lips is not perfect. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like
he just
kind of painted it on.
It's like that Lee Bermejo Joker, kind of.
Yeah, like, it's almost, or, like, a little Heath Ledger-ish, too, you know, but not
quite that far,
but, yeah. I just want to do one quick thing here as well, if you'll indulge me. I bought this Joker.
Go for
this
it.
Isn't a new Joker.
Oh, you got a two.
I got a double.
Things.
Oh, a twofer.
Oh, a twofer, yeah.
Let's do it.
This will just be a minute, but I bought this a couple months ago because this was purchased from this place called Amalgam Comics in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first female black owner comic book store owner in the United States.
Oh, cool.
And I wanted to support her. So I bought this and I also bought another.
That's so cool.
Black Panther trade. So yeah, I mean,
cool.
Just trying to spread the word a little bit. Go and support people like this. Amalgam Comics. Amalgam?
Amalgam.
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 There you go.
That's then. Like the Marvel DC brand from the 90s when
that's
they
right.
crossed over.
Yeah,
right.
Amalgam Comics.
Amalgam. All right, so.
Somebody wants to see your Joker shelf. Can you turn your camera?
Let's see. It's way over there, but let's see how good I can make it here. oh, there it is. It's hard. It's far away. But there it is. It's next to the coat. Yeah, there we go. There's a lot of them. So really this cool. goes right in the front, sort of. All right. Thanks. You got anything? Nice. Got anything else? Sam, do you got anything for us?
I mean, I have a couple different options here, and I don't know even where to go because I don't buy a whole lot of modern day toys or anything. You know, I talked to Clay earlier, and I was like, you know, I could do something from work, but they're not really like toys. You know, they're prop replicas. They're, you know, Freddy Krueger gloves and things like that. But I have a couple things that have been in my collection that I've been planning on opening anyways, and you know, one of the things that my brother got me a couple years ago for Christmas was
nice.
Oh yeah, here's my buddy.
You know, 1988. You know, not quite the summer of 1990, but
not quite yet. Know.
That's awesome, though.
I love those things.
That's amazing. That's you're great. Not gonna RoboCop. Open, you're not gonna open that, are you?
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, go ahead.
Do it.
I'm actually curious to see it. Open it. Yeah.
All right. I am going to be careful.
Oh. I'm sort of like the guy in The Simpsons. I'm always like, oh, dude, it wouldn't be worth as much.
I've wanted one of these since I was very little. And so he purchased it for me. Oh, boy.
Your brother's awesome.
My brother is awesome. He's in a bunch of pieces here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Still in the bags. The best thing is here we got the caps.
Right here. Wait, what? So like he would actually shoot?
Yeah, all the RoboCop cap. Toys. All the RoboCop toys came with like rolls of caps, and they would like little switch on their back, and you could make them bang.
That's so that cool. Awesome.
But the best thing that came with all of the Kenner toys of the era.
Police Academy?
Oh yeah, man! Police Academy got up. Real Ghostbusters. These I used to collect these from every single toy that I would get. And
oh my god. That's so
great.
Yes.
That is so cool. And you guys want to see the Police Academy stuff?
Nope.
Nope. Come on. There's stuff like you don't even remember existing. Just like, what is this called? Mega Force? I actually think I got some of these at Ocean State Job Lot once.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Wow, I have no recollection of Mega Force.
Not by name, but I recognize some of the vehicles. Oh, yeah, here we go. Police Academy.
Oh, I vaguely remember this now. Yeah.
The best are the weird accessories, the handcuffs, which are actual hands.
That's so weird.
And the police station, which was definitely reworked off of the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Oh yeah,
you know. So
nightstick. It seems like a little dangerous.
What I mean, treat. can you imagine them trying to release this stuff now? Yeah. Here, kid. Here's
not the climate. Not the climate for that.
Yeah. Questionable, but yeah. So Ed, well, he's not Ed 209 as he is in the movie. He's actually Ed 260.
Oh,
I don't know if somebody
got blown up or whatever. I guess
maybe fresh from 1988, guys.
Fresh, yeah,
wild.
This is like a time machine. I love it.
Yeah, man.
This is the best part of my quarantine.
This thing, I mean, I didn't even know. Like, I loved RoboCop, and I don't think I knew there was an Ed 209.
Yeah, man.
Caps, no less.
Just do a bunch of podcasts where we like rip into vintage toys and like freak people out.
That is pretty cool looking. That's awesome. I mean, wow.
Yeah. So you can see on the back here, here's this where you put the caps in.
So you flip that switch?
Yeah, this little door. So I can remember. Yeah, it goes up and out.
Wow.
So you load them into there. Really?
Silence your cell phones!
Silence!
You know, my cell phone is silenced, but it was
on your computer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'll allow it.
So, yeah. So yeah,
that is pretty cool, though. So
put the cap roll right in there, close it up, and then just let it go.
That's great. That's great.
Caps, man. They don't make those anymore, right? That seems like that would be.
I don't know. Do they?
So those caps have been in there for like 32 years.
32 years.
Maybe more. Wow, that's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious if they still work. You know,
only one way to find out. You got to lick them.
I don't know.
We won't make you open those. Okay, but thank you.
Like hasn't gotten damaged.
Well, that was great, Sam. Thank you so much.
Saved the best for last. There, yeah. Thank you very much, guys. We're gonna do a quick. Do we have time? We'll do a quick little trivia session.
Yeah, we have time.
Here.
We have time.
All right. Good. Good. Good.
We're going to do comic book trivia based on your birthday. So I realize that this calendar is not 365 days of trivia questions. So it's like a lot of facts and stuff. But I pulled some out so we can still do this.
Oh, very good.
But I have one for Durson. April 1st.
April 1st is my birthday, anyone listening. So get me something.
And so if anybody's in the chat right now, please drop your birthday in there. We'll ask a trivia question. This will go pretty quick, I think, actually. So
it depends how hard the questions are.
What hero did Dr. Cobra oppose? Snake Eyes, Megatron, the Spirit, or Shazam?
Dr. Cobra. I mean, I don't know. Is this an obvious one that I'm missing? Because I never saw the Spirit. I'm going to say the Spirit.
It's probably something that you are not that familiar with.
So, yeah, I'm going to say the Spirit, right?
No? And you are correct, sir.
Yes!
You win a birthday. He gets to have a birthday next year.
He's not the fool this time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Josh, are you July 4th?
I am July 4th.
He is.
Oh, I'm glad I remembered it.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is a really funny thing. Your question is hilarious. Which of the following is a Howard the Duck villain who was embraced by marijuana enthusiasts? Captain Cannabis, Dr. Bong, Wendell Weed, Baron Bud. So, Captain Cannabis, Dr. Bong, Wendell Weed, Baron Bud.
I'd say A.
You're going to go for Captain Cannabis?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's... Dr. Bong.
Oh, that was going to be my second choice.
Do you really have a villain called Dr. Bong? Oh, my God.
I am Dr. Bong.
Howard the Duck. Sam, when is your birthday?
April 27th.
All right, here, let's see if you get a question. I'm going to ask you one of these questions from the top. Which famous comic book artist was also an escape artist? Steve Ditko, Howard Chaykin, Walt Simonson, Jim Steranko.
That is a weird question.
That is a weird
I knew question. The answer to this.
You did? You
know. I bet John knows too.
He probably does.
So Ditko, Chaykin, Simonson, Steranko. Like, let's say maybe it might not be Ditko. So Chaykin, Simonson.
Just tell me the answer.
Jim Steranko.
Yeah, that would have been my guess.
From Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, that guy's a wacky dude.
So, all right. So Erin from once said her birthday's August 1st.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. Let's see. We're kind of going chronologically,
Maybe it's not her. Maybe it's someone in the chat. I could be wrong.
It's me.
Oh, it is you. Happy birthday.
Hi, Erin.
Again.
I'm wrong, but I will participate.
Thank you.
Oh, you get a good question too. So I'm kind of lucking out here. Which of the following was the job held by Dick Grayson, your Robin? Spy, police officer, bartender, or all of the above?
All of the above in some capacity in his life, for sure. I mean, he brought Batman drinks. He's spied on Batman. Like, definitely.
Definitely. You win. You won. You got
all
it right.
All of the above. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
If anybody else can still chime in here, I have my own question, which I haven't looked at the answer to. You're just going to have to trust me, the honor system. Right. I'm going to cover up the answer.
Cool. We have Bridget. We've got Bridget, too. 1020.
We've got a couple in here, too.
1020. So, yeah. Okay. Well, good, because it'll still be going in order if I go next. which hero was the nemesis of the horrible hand, a massive disembodied hand? Mr. Justice, Evis the Invincible, Captain America, and Slam Bradley. Horrible hand. I'm going to go with the only thing I think I can tell is it might be Slam Bradley. It's also a Jim Stranko character. And I was wrong. It was Evis the Invincible, a wizard from ancient Egypt. So I don't even know. I have no idea who that is.
So.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't have got that either. Later.
We've got a May 20th.
Yeah, we got a May 20th and a October 20th. So,
okay, I'm going to go back to May 20th, and then we'll do Bridget's.
All right. We all had quarantine birthdays.
This is nice. Where did Groot appear long before he was a member of Guardians of the Galaxy? In Greek mythology, in a monster comic, in the Fantastic Four, in a World War II comic. So this is for.
And he says, I think he means Greek myth, but
Greek myth,
like Greek myth, which is even funny.
Geek myth.
Oh, geek myth.
Geek myth. Geek myth.
He was in.
He was in a monster comic.
Sounds like he
was. Tales to Astonish.
In a monster comic, he was in an old Marvel comic called Tales to Astonish, 1960.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Sam.
But yeah, sorry.
If there's something I know. It's
monster comics. And then let's go to Bridget here. Bridget. Oh, this is a good one. Who did Wolverine battle in his first appearance in the comic book? That is.
Well,
this is going to Bridget.
It's a famous comic, all collectors.
I should give her the choices, which I forgot.
Yeah,
to do.
Good job.
Magneto, the Hulk, Doctor Doom, or Apocalypse? So, Magneto, the Hulk, Doctor Doom, or Apocalypse? Who was the first villain that Wolverine fought?
Villain?
I mean, Magneto, little... which is a good question. It's actually the correct answer for the movies, but he first appeared in the Hulk in the comics.
I feel like that question is
that's not even right for the movies.
The Hulk is not a villain. The Hulk is a hero. They you know, I think that's they're trying to trick you on that.
Yeah, that is a trick question.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
you want another question? I'm going to give her another question.
Yeah.
This is a good one. This is coming at you, Bridget. What does J. Jonah Jameson do after finding out Peter Parker is actually Spider-Man during Civil War? Does he change his mind about Spider-Man? Does he sue Peter Parker? Does he become a supervillain? Or does he quit journalism and leave the Daily Bugle behind? So there's no way you would know the answer to this question, so just pick one.
I don't even remember this. Does anyone remember this?
Oh, he sues him, for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, none of
all
this...
the above.
All the above. All the above, really?
He should be all a supervillain. But what he does is actually sue Parker because he's a menace.
I wonder if you'll see that in the next Spider-Man movie. Now that he
one more. Trevor, do you tell us your birthday? And
he did. He was Trevor.
It was
May
20th. October.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do one. I'm going to do this bonus round question. Somebody yell out the answer or whatever.
Oh.
Who does Bizarro go go on a road trip with in a 2015 series? Superman, Lex Luthor, Jimmy Olsen, or Mr. Mixpitalix?
Mixoblick. Does he drive backwards?
Olsen. That's what I want to know. Olsen, for I, sure.
Olsen, it's got to be Jimmy Olsen. That, otherwise, it wouldn't be funny.
What is this, Bizarro World? The answer is Jimmy Olsen. So that's the answer. It was Olsen.
There we are.
The whole time.
Do you have let's do for John Hunt. His birthday is November 29th. Do you have a November 29th there? Let's see if we can.
Yes.
See if we can.
Okay. Whose favorite catchphrase is, I already know how this fight ends? Whose favorite catchphrase is, I already know how this fight ends? Wolverine, the Midnighter, Rorschach, Spider-Woman. Wolverine, the Midnighter, which is a DC character. Rorschach, Spider-Woman.
Phone a friend? I don't know.
Let's say the Midnighter.
I'm going to say Midnighter because nobody knows who the hell that is.
Because I telegraphed it by saying, well, he's a guy who's in DC.
But they brought him back recently, and he married a man, right? But that was a cool thing they did in that
yes.
comic. There you go. You don't see that.
Steve Orlando, that guy writes good comics.
All right, very well. I don't know. Do we have any other birthdays and stuff? Or just
Cashmere's birthday? Do you know Cashmere's birthday?
Oh.
From the chat?
No, I don't remember.
Make something
well,
up.
Let's say,
Rachel's going to be
say
really
it's today.
Mad at me. Oh,
let's say it's today.
Sure, it's today.
March 18th, okay.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Rachel.
Who was not especially successful second Avenger? Sorry. Who was the not especially successful second Avengers villain? What a mouthful that is. Who was the not especially successful second Avengers villain? Pastepot Pete? The Tinkerer, Space Phantom, Fing Fan Foom.
I'm going to say Pastepot Pete because that's John Hunt's favorite villain.
That's what he would say.
That's what he would say.
If he were with us, that's what he would say. It's the Space Phantom, dummies.
Who the hell is the Space Phantom?
I don't know.
Sorry, Cashmere, you were wrong.
The cat was wrong again.
Man, Pastepot Pete, though, I'm glad we got a reference in on this.
Yeah, I had to read that one.
John Hunt. Yeah, right. So that was all right. Those are some obscure questions.
Yeah. So they're saying that Wolverine's first fight was with the Hulk. Is that like his first appearance? Is that the one when he was like actually a Wolverine turned into a man?
Yeah.
I mean, that one
Hulk with 181 drawn by
is his
Herb
first...
Trimpy. That one. Yeah. They don't really fight. It's not much goes on with them.
They fight Wendigo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, trick.
Very 70s like comics. It's like kind of slow and pretty boring, actually.
But like I said, it's a big one in the collector's market. Everybody's like, hey, you've got Hulk 181.
I met Herb Trimpy at one of those Comic Cons that was like in the basement down on Berkeley Street. The one you wore the Star Trek shirt to get in for free.
And then
Herb Trimpy was there, and I talked to him about how great he was drawing G.I. Joe.
Oh, of course.
Rest in peace.
Oh, very good. Do we have anything else? I don't know. It's 9. We've been at this.
I think we wrap it up.
That's
I
what we got for segments. We want to shout out, of course, to once again. I don't mean once again. Once. Once somewhere
again.
thank you for doing this with us.
Help.
We love you guys.
Them. Please, of course, during these times where no one's going to shows and stuff.
Venmo once Somerville. Venmo once Somerville. And once
Venmo at once Somerville. Yeah, just please help out any way you can. I think they have a GoFundMe, right? Please help us out. Maybe, Aaron, are you there? You have a GoFundMe?
They want us to send people to Venmo.
Okay,
so
then, go to Venmo. Just go to at once Somerville. Everybody knows how to Venmo now.
Not me.
Not every. All right.
We're not using other payment apps anymore.
But thanks for them. Also, we have stuff. If you want to help us out, if you go to leaguepodcast.com, we have links to everything. I want to show the John Hunt's T-shirt. By the way, if you go to T Public,
leaguepodcast.com/shop.
Yeah, you can get this. This is John Hunt made this T-shirt for T Public. It's Han and Leia. It's very cool. I love it. Also,
Josh has shirts there.
Josh has
shirts. Gerson has his comic book there.
My comic book, yeah, Robin Hood, Outlaw of the 21st Century.
Bang Mass.
RobinHoodComicBook.com. We can go to MonstersAreGood.com. We might as well, come on, Sam. We got to get you in here.
Yeah. MonstersAreGood.com for all your monster apparel needs.
Yeah.
Stole the show tonight, man.
Needs, yeah. With the Ed 209. How much for that? Just kidding. Yeah, thanks so much for everybody. I hope you enjoyed this. And if you didn't, don't tell
anyone.
Thanks
for doing it.
No, please. Yeah, check out LeaguePodcast.com. We're on, if you can listen to our podcast, we're on all the major podcast networks.
Like Anchor, Spotify, yeah. Overcast, Apple Podcasts, everything. All of it.
Yeah. So you can listen. We've been doing a lot of sort of, we did a whole Star Trek thing recently. We're doing these sort of like special one-off. We did a Godzilla. We did a Serenity. And there's more to come. So check us out on all those. Hey, all the things are in the chat if you're watching on Zoom. You can find us pretty easy. Just look up League Podcast. We're the only one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, thanks again, everyone. Thanks to Once. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Clay. Thanks, everyone who watched.
Thanks, Durson.
I want to do the video. Thanks, guys. Thanks to everybody.